enjoy the ride. Yeah.
And now more Operation Freedom. Freedom. With your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham! Talk 1600.
Welcome back to Operation Freedom, folks. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our ancillary bunker linked to our main Freedom Bunker in the People's Republic of Ann Arbor. We're here every Sunday for you from 2 to 5 Eastern. But it doesn't start and stop from 2 to 5 Eastern. We are also available at the following locations. Yes, our YouTube channel is barely standing, called Operation Freedom Channel, where we upload one brief, small, because we can't go into any detail, because if we do, oh, it'll get shut down. Every Tuesday morning, about 10 a.m., I upload a little general preface to what I'm going to discuss in greater depth at Operation Freedom Briefings that we now do on our website at davejanda.com. It's free. It's there every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. You go to davejanda.com, go to the homepage, have a little bit down on the right-hand side right there for you. We'll take an issue and we go into it at greater depth. All there for you. We used to do that on YouTube, but cannot because of the cancel culture that has impregnated the social media platforms. We also have a Rumble channel, also named Operation Freedom. But where the real meat of the matter is, that is at davejanda.com. Extra shows, extra content, extra analysis, all the archives, not just the podcast from this show that Derek, my wingman, will have up for our subscribers by 8 p.m. tonight, but also we have our extra shows, as I mentioned, our WTF show that we put up, a video format show, geopolitical issues, information that I get from behind the curtain from my contacts that we put forward. Can't talk about it on the radio. Can't talk about it on YouTube or Rumble, for that matter. Why? Because there are choke points in all of those platforms that will shut you down at this point. And that's why we have davejanda.com. That's why we spend the thousands of dollars every month on security, to make it secure for our content, make it secure for our visitors as well. We hope you become part of our freedom family and become a subscriber at davejanda.com. My next guest is someone who's a very good friend and someone who is an incredibly courageous patriot, Sarah Westall. She is truly a Renaissance woman. She is a successful entrepreneur and business executive. In the past 25 years, Sarah has created and developed multiple companies, including a successful management consulting firm and an international import manufacturing company. She has a dynamic leadership career spent building high-performance teams in highly competitive industries. She has truly an entrepreneurial attitude, energy, and style. Sarah has a computer science and business management systems degree from the College of Science and Engineering at the University of Minnesota, with an emphasis in management information systems from the Carlson Business School. Sarah started her career at the center of the Internet revolution at U.S. West Communications, where she was promoted multiple times to eventually become director of the Advanced Networking Group, responsible for all of the systems design and development for Enterprise, the Internet and networking arm of U.S. West. Now, in addition to that, Sarah is a partner at Galax Consulting, and she's the host of a national radio show, Business Game Changers. Her national radio show features leaders in business, government, society, and science. I encourage you to go to Sarah's website. It is chock full of phenomenal information the deep state does not want you to know about. Sarah Westall, Westall, sarahwestall.com. Sarah, welcome back to the Operation Freedom Show and the Operation Freedom Platform.
Thank you so much, Dave. It's always a pleasure.
So, Sarah, in your introduction, I mentioned that you worked at U.S. West. You had developed the systems design for Enterprise, their internet and networking arm of U.S. West. Yeah. So I want to bring your attention, I'm sure you're aware of it, but let's just get your input. Joe Biden, at a recent event, was asked about why the minority community they're not embracing the vaccination issue. And I want you to hear his response, because with your expertise in development with the internet, I imagine you'll have some, a bit of a reaction to what he had to say. Derek, hit it.
The other portion is a lot of people don't know how to register. Not everybody in the community, in the Hispanic and the African-American community, particularly in rural areas that are distant and or inner city districts, know how to get online to determine how to get in line for that COVID vaccination at the Walgreens or at the particular store.
There you have it, Sarah. So according to Joe Biden, it appears that minorities don't know how to use the internet. Did you actually find that to be the case when you were at US West?
Well, that is a racist comment. They're just pulling at straws to try to come up with a reason to why people don't want to get the vaccine. And it's not because of their lack of internet skills. Not at this point. You know, back in the 90s, yeah, I would say, but it wasn't just minorities. It was older people. That's where it was.
It was anybody.
But people who just were a little scared of the new technology, right?
Right.
But I don't think it's race based. I mean, I think it's something the media would have creamed Trump over, but they just let Biden have a pass. There's a lot of racist behavior in his past, so I'm not surprised that he would jump to that right away, that they're inferior in their mental abilities, which is really a sad commentary to what the president would say.
Speaking about what the president would say, normally, Sarah, and you've written about this, nobody in the bought-off lamestream fake media has addressed this, but you have in as an independent journalist. Sarah, normally the month of end of January and at least sometime to the middle part of February, the president, gives a State of the Union address. Well, Sarah, Joe Biden has not stepped up to the plate and provided a State of the Union address, which has been going on for many decades and many presidents. And he also has not had a formal press conference since he was installed, not inaugurated, installed. And this, I believe it's now been, I think, close to 100 years where a formal press conference is given by the president, the new president, whatever it might be. He's well over 50 days now, and it hasn't occurred. Your take on all that, Sarah?
Well, I got to tell you, the latest it's ever been given is February 12th, and that was by Obama. But only 8 times in history has it been even given in February. I mean, this is just unprecedented. It's really, really bizarre. And we're watching this really bizarre theater go on. And they try to compensate by doing that terrible, television time for whatever he did. That wasn't even close to an address, but he did that. And I don't know what to say other than we're just watching this very strange theater go on, because all through history, the presidents have done this. And I looked all the way back to Washington, and the 7 times in history or 8 times in history goes all the way back to Washington. They did it early. Now, there has been times before 1947 that they would periodically not do one, but since 1947, they always do it, and not a single first-time president hasn't done it. It's just incredible. I mean, I don't even know what to say about it. It's a very unprecedented situation, and we're watching theater at its best. I got to tell you, I think he's being protected.
Yeah, I think that's being kind too. He's being kind of smothered. I mean, he mentioned this thing he did this week that they called his first address. Sarah, what a disaster! Essentially, if I had to title his address, if you want to call it that, it would be obey. Because the statement he made was, I kid you not, we will issue further guidance on what you can and cannot do once fully vaccinated, end quote.
Well, I think it tells you more where they're at mentally, right? It's it tells you where these people think of us. They don't understand the whole point of what our country was founded on. And or maybe they do and they don't care. I mean, they're trying to change the minds of the people to obey. And we're seeing it everywhere.
Yes, we are. I mean, it's all about control,
control
and power. And they use that boogeyman of fear every chance they get.
Yes, they do. And that's what the whole thing of racial politics is all about, too, is just to create division, to create fear, to create anger between each other. Instead of embracing each other and realizing we're one human family, they decide they want to create that issue. I believe it's evil. I mean, I think it's abuse of minorities. It's very sad.
I agree with you. And then they try to convince people that they, quote, care, end quote, because they love to quote figures. Like, for example, this week, we provided $1.9 trillion to the American people. Really? Really? Because if that's the case, why are the people getting some of the people that do get checks, why are they only getting $1,400? Because if you look at the number of people in this country, that means every person can get $6,000 a person. What happened to the other $4,600 per person, let alone all those millions and millions of people that didn't get anything? But they try to convince people, we're giving money. I mean, for example, and you wrote about this, they say, you can tell we care because the government has, there's $9 trillion that's been used to combat this crisis. Okay, Sarah, you wrote about this. People are saying $9 trillion? No, you got that wrong. There might maybe $9 billion? No. Sarah, where did $9 trillion go?
Well, $9 trillion, you know, if they're using that as a to claim it's for the crisis, the $9 trillion was before the crisis really took off, you know, before COVID really took off. It was the repo loan crisis, and we were all talking about it and wondering what the heck is going on. It was like 2008, way worse than 2008. They were giving overnight loans and nobody knew because it was not transparent, and it ended up being accumulation of $9 trillion worth of loans to Wall Street, and nobody knew what it's from, and then it disappeared. It was like this crisis, overnight crisis, and then nobody started talking about it, and they disappeared. So they did something. But a couple weeks ago, they admitted in a Senate hearing that it actually went to 12 of the largest commercial banks. Did they give it back? Well, I don't know. We don't get to see the the books.
When was the last time? Wait, Sarah, when was the last time you heard of a bankster giving money back?
Well, that's my point. And I mean, it's so bad, it's laughable. I mean, if it wasn't so serious, you'd laugh. But it's in this case, you just kind of shake your head going, oh my gosh, are they just taking everything they can from the United States before our monetary system collapses or has no value? I mean, how do you even take the fact that they had $9 trillion given to the 12 largest banks in the country, which is way more than 2008, and they were not transparent, and nobody even knows if they gave it back or what, because you can't look at the books.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's as though they're rifling the store, right? I mean, they're looting the store before the authorities show up, right?
Oh, before the ship goes down, they're getting on the life rafts and taking what they can. I don't know. I mean, you wonder if that's what's going on. You do know that there is this huge other group buying silver, and they are, it's huge. It's as big as, it's as big as the central banks, and it's this other group. It's unprecedented. It's the largest. They've never had an others group. And who's buying all that silver? It's this others group. I don't know if you've heard about it, but we've mm-hmm. been following it. I did a show on it. Mm-hmm. And It's massive. It's as large as the central banks, what they're purchasing. But nobody's talking about it.
No, they don't want you to talk about it.
It's just incredible. They're buying gold and silver, but a lot more silver, because silver is, they're expecting silver to be hard to get.
Right, and we had Rob Kirby on earlier in the show, and Rob mentions trying to get physical silver in any type of quantity at this point is near impossible.
Yeah.
So if you're an industry such as a company, Apple, right, that uses silver in its products, if you're Tesla, right, if you're in the solar industry, right, and silver is a component, a significant component in what you use in your technology and your product. You know, they're in, because remember they run these lean production type.
Oh, absolutely,
of
programs, yeah.
Right. So, which means they don't have a huge inventory on hand. That you know, if you're in management of those, or if you're working for one of those companies, you're gonna go, hey, there's going to come a day here where we can't build stuff. I can't do my job because the raw materials aren't there. And a big raw material, as you mentioned, Sarah, is silver.
Well, and the crazy part is, how are the prices kept so low? You know, it's not going with this. So they're holding these prices down. They're buying all this silver.
Right. Then they hold prices down with fake paper.
So they can manipulate
the price, right? That's how they do it.
But I think they're holding it down so they could buy it, because that's this whole others group. And then what's going to happen when things go down?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's what I see. I've been buying silver for over 10 years. And now the last couple, I've been spending a little bit more just to hedge my bets. I don't know. I just want to make sure I'm safe. I think it's important that everybody is safe and protects himself. If you don't have a little bit of silver, I think it's a mistake right now. Because it's inexpensive, and you just don't know. And you can always in the future exchange it back for whatever monetary system there is, but it's always going to have that value.
It has been shown time and time again to be quite the insurance policy.
That's exactly what it is. I wouldn't think of it as a huge investment. I just think of it as an insurance policy.
That's right. That actually there is a finite time when it will be used. It's not like one of these insurance policies that you might get that, well, you're never going to see the ramifications of. I agree with you, Sarah. I think things are going on financially, and this is an insurance policy that people will see the value of in their lifetime, without a doubt. You know, Sarah, you've recently done a documentary called Humanity's Decision. Do you want to educate our listeners on that?
No, that was a work of passion. I really hope that people watch that. It's only 12 minutes long, and I hope they watch it and share it with people. It is educating people, informing people. I don't even know if I like the word education. Informing people of what the treatments are out there for COVID-19. There are multiple treatments that exist that are inexpensive, that have been proven to be very successful, more than the vaccines, less side effects than the vaccines, but they're being censored or banned in our country. And I go over that. And very respectable institutions have been doing the research on this. And there's trials. There's, you know, as far as the Dr. Richard Bartlett, his inhaled steroid, and it's a combination of inhaled steroid, an antibiotic, and zinc, but virtually he's only had one person in the whole time they've been treating people that didn't recover, and that was a 96-year-old that came in 14 days after they had it. So, I mean, they might have died. They would die of a cold probably. So it's just been phenomenal. Oxford University did the study, and they showed that 90% of the hospitalizations in the United States would have not been needed if people were using this treatment. And this treatment has been highly censored. There's another treatment called chloride dioxide that went through phase 3 trials in Switzerland. And there are there's 32 different countries using it. There's over 4,000 doctors, over 20,000 people, much more by now. And over 60,000 doctors and medical professionals are on forums learning about it. And there's a couple countries that have it as their formal treatment for COVID-19. And in this country, it's banned. The Navy used it to treat Ebola, but they act like in the mass media that it's a bleach, industrial bleach, and it's going to kill you and all these things. There are no known side effects. It's very effective. And so it's already gone through. They did phase three trials just to prove that this is very effective. And it's not only effective with COVID-19, it's effective with regular flu and cold and Ebola and all sorts of things. And it's banned in the United States. And so my point is why are they pushing out these vaccines when there's affordable treatments? And I say there's three reasons why. There has to be three situations or factors that must exist for a vaccine to be warranted. There can't be an inexpensive treatment that's widely available. It doesn't have to be inexpensive, but widely available treatment that works. But in this case, they're inexpensive. Two, there needs to be a vaccine that is effective and safe. And three, there needs to be a disease that warrants the need of a vaccine. Okay, I didn't even cover three. I didn't want to go into number three. I wanted to talk about the first two, where I've already established that there are treatments, and there's more treatments than what I cover in this show. But then I also talk about the risk factors with the vaccines. And these vaccines are not what people think they are. There are risk factors out there, and there are very respectable people that are speaking out about them, and including the top Pfizer executive that spoke out with another public health professional in Germany to do an emergency stay because they're worried about it creating long-term infertility. I mean, there's also the prion disease issue, which means that the long-term events happen maybe 3 to 4 years from now. And it's very well documented that this in studies that this can happen. So I really hope people go on and watch it. I did it. I didn't do it in any kind of way that would scare. I tried not to scare off people who are less informed. I want to reach everyone. And so I really hope people share it and
where can they watch it, Sarah?
You can go to sarahwestall.com and you can see it. It's right on my front page. And when you share it, you can share just the video so they don't see my website or anything, which might be a little scary, show people things that they might not be ready for. But the video itself can be shared all over the place and with those that don't know anything. And I'm hoping we can reach some people.
Sarah, I'd like to thank you for everything you have done, are doing, and will do. You are an incredibly courageous patriot who has put millions of people ahead of your own health and actually in well-being. And I thank you for that perseverance, dedication, and sacrifice. Sarah Westall, W-E-S-T-A-L-L, sarahwestall.com. Folks, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for being here. And until next week, dream big and dare to fail. We're still available. Doesn't start and stop from 2 to 5 on Sundays. We're available 24/7 at davejanda.com during the week until we return.